Well, hey, friends, and welcome to episode 23 of the Run From Zero podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Krismer. So glad that you're here joining us today as we've got a fun episode for you. Just like always, though, if you've not yet listened to the message from Sunday, I encourage you to pause this now. Go ahead and listen to that episode, which can be found here on the YouTube channel or wherever you're listening to this podcast before continuing on with this episode, as it's going to help this conversation make a whole lot more sense to you. Because over the next 35 or 45 minutes here, you'll hear Todd, Cal, and I discuss that message. We talk a lot about the wisdom that God offers to us by the power of His Spirit. If you're not familiar much with the theology of the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, what He does, and you might find this episode really helpful. We don't get to cover all of the bases, but we definitely spend the majority of this conversation talking about the Holy Spirit, the way that He works in our lives, what He will do, what He will not do, and then the power that we see by walking with God and understanding who He is through the power of Scripture and the power of His Spirit. Again, I hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks so much for being here. Well, hey guys, good morning.
Morning.
Welcome, welcome. Hey, excited to be back into the life of Joseph. Before that, though, busy week here at Fountain Springs. I know for a lot of us, for those of you listening, maybe you guys were a part of Love Your Neighbor this week, maybe a part of the celebration just yesterday. And man, just first and foremost, thank you. If you were a part of it, grateful for that. We couldn't do what God's calling us to do in this community without you. But really quick, just for you guys, tell me, what were you guys a part of this week? Any fun experiences you had as a part of Love Your Neighbor?
Yeah, I've been doing the runner spot for a lot of the week. And so just kind of being on standby, getting the list and quickly zooming over to Lowe's, Menards. And so, but it's also cool. In that position, you get to see a bunch of the little snippets of all the little projects going on. And so that's just been super fun. And even like, you know, people noticing in like stores and stuff and, like, oh, is it a big project? It's like, yeah, it's Love Your Neighbor. It's like, definitely last night, the celebration, up at Star Village was awesome. Just seeing the community come together, the police department, the mayor's there, and, just again, coming around and being a part of the community.
Yep.
I think that was just so awesome seeing how many people even came out for it too.
Yeah, I spent a little bit of time Wednesday afternoon at Star Village doing the lights. We installed like 80 some odd solar lights just to give them a little bit. They're like motion detected lights so that, you know, as people are moving around, it's a little bit more visible for them and that sort of thing. Try to provide a little bit of safety and just having some of those conversations with some of the neighbors in and around that neighborhood. I've not spent very much time up there, but it was so cool just getting to chat with them and hear their heart for their neighbors and wanting safe places for kids to be able to play, and all of that stuff was super neat. We had a chance, would have been Tuesday night, for those listeners who aren't familiar, there's a ministry downtown called GMP Skate Park.
Oh yeah.
It's an indoor skate park, kind of connected downtown to the Rimrock Church building right next to Fork Reel, who's a big partner of ours as well. Derek, who runs the GMP skate park, so former student pastor, I believe. I've gotten to know him a little bit over the last few months here as Porter and I have kind of popped into the skate park here and there as he's been wanting to start skating here.
Let's go.
And so we partnered with them a couple of times. We had a group that went out and did a bunch of painting and cleaning for them. And then Tuesday night. So what a lot of people may not know about GMP is it's a ministry, like very intentional ministry. So on Tuesday nights, they do what they call skate church. So they had, they've had to split it into two separate nights for different age kids, 'cause it's kind of blown up, at least this past spring it did. And, so when we were there on Tuesday, there were probably 30 or 40 kids and adults in there for that matter who came to skate, and we made them a bunch of food, a bunch of carne asada burritos, and Then we sat down together, just all of us in the skate park, finding somewhere to sit. And Derek preached for us about the, you know, the power of testimonies and transformation that God can do in our lives. And it was just a really neat environment to be a part of. Just good reminder that there are so many places and ministries like that in our community. Like, even though it's not a massive community, there are some really cool opportunities for kids and adults, for that matter, to have just positive environments that kind of point them back to God. And that was a highlight of my week for sure.
Yeah,
my kids have been part of the kid friendly stuff. So whether that's been making dog toys, cat toys, whatever it was, and then dog treats, and then but then also I know one of my kids got to go to a nursing home just to be there, hang out, and so that was cool to see. Also got to be a part of Neighborhood Works project. We did their kind of created a garden for them. They had it, but then kind of redid it. And so they asked us to do more pavers so it can be more wheelchair accessible.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I got to be a part of that. And that's been cool to see. And one of those things, Star Village is another example, like to have these opportunities to create a place where a neighborhood can finally heal change and see that transformation and God just using it in profound ways. And just for our church to be a part of that is, it's cool.
Yeah.
I love hearing all these stories and seeing what God's doing through them.
Yeah. Yeah. Likewise. So again, just thanks to everyone. You'll hear us share a bunch more stories about this over the next few weeks, I'm sure. And, but just want to say thank you for anyone who was involved. And, this is one of those things that, can really add fuel to the fire of our personal faiths, but also what God can do in and through our community. So, love the engagement over this past week. Let's jump into the message from Sunday. Again, we're digging back into the story of the life of Joseph, and I just kind of want to open the floor to you guys. Cal, maybe you go first, but tell me this week's message, what from it kind of stood out to you? What was a good reminder for you? Or if you had any conversations with anyone kind of following up, but tell me out of the message from the story of the life of Joseph.
Yeah. We kind of hit the pivot moment, right? Where we're moving into what we would know as like the second half of the story of Joseph. And that first half, some people could say is like, oh, it's, you know, setting the scene. It's like kind of all the stuff you got to learn to have the context for the big moment. But I think it's actually pretty important to notice the development that's happening. Something you had touched on is like the difference of like knowledge and wisdom. Mm-hmm. And even we had, you know, mentioned this a little bit prior, like you can pursue knowledge, but like wisdom, you can't just be like, I'm wise now. I'm going to choose to be wise. And like, we needed this story to like happen and go through all these things for Joseph to actually like gain the wisdom that he has. I think one of the beauties of it is simply like seeing his reaction to his first dream. Hey guys, you're going to bow to me. And then seeing his reaction to the dream with Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. He's like, I can't interpret this dream, but God can type of thing. Yeah. And it's like, you even mentioned like, that's not what you say to Pharaoh.
Right. If you're trying to get out of prison.
Yeah. Like, if you're trying to get out of prison, you say, yeah, I can do this.
Gotcha.
But again, we saw an incredible amount of maturity happen and wisdom. And again, we live in this knowledge fast track age, like nothing against it, but I know a ton of friends that are in like, you know, accelerated master's degrees where it's like you get your bachelor's and your master's in 5 years. Yep. You know, you can go to this conference and become a master coffee roaster and have all the knowledge in a week. But at the end of the day, sometimes it actually takes time to learn what to do with this knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think that was even just so encouraging as I'm a person that's like, how can I fast track the knowledge and just master this? The time is so important, and it's kind of just one of the ways that God's working in your heart. So I really loved that part of your sermon.
Yeah.
For me personally, as putting this sermon together and walking through it, I think not my heart kind of broke for so many people I've had conversations with, and they are desperate for that wisdom.
Mm.
Like, just tell me how to get out of this. Mm. Or get me out of this. How do I do this? And we've all been there. I've been there. And so as I was putting, I was like, God, I just want everyone to be able to experience the Holy Spirit in a way that gets them from just, because worldly wisdom is more knowledge. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know things, great. Godly wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit, go do it this way. And you make it why, and he goes, just trust me. And then you find out later some of these things and some of the maturity that's happening that and some of the things he's teaching you so that he can get you ready for whatever moment may come.
Yeah.
And so to me, Joseph's story is one of those incredible moments where you see a man being willing to walk out 13 rough years, but in this get the Holy Spirit guiding him and leading him with such wisdom that we look at that story and go, wow, Joseph had a plan. Joseph was ready to interpret that dream, but it's all because God's going, okay, now you're ready for this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't miss that 2 years of waiting, right? Where it's like, hey, we're just sitting in prison. Right. We're just kind of sitting in jail trying to.
I've done it the right way. I've done good things. Yep. Like, why is the answer not coming?
Yeah. So, yeah. That's really good. Yeah. There is this, and I know we talked about this a little bit. There is this relationship between, you know, knowledge, wisdom, even obedience is one of the things that we talked a bit about. I like illustrations and I like having kind of a perfect thing, and this is not fleshed out at all, but there is some sort of like three-way Venn diagram probably between those three things when it comes to our faith and the way that we think about and approach our lives, like think about our faith inwardly and then act upon our faith outwardly, where there's this merriment of, or combination of, knowledge matters. We need to know things. That's why like reading scripture is important.
Yeah.
Biblical literacy is important. Knowing what God's actually saying to you by the, through the stories that he orchestrates, that's important. What's also important is the wisdom to discern from what he's telling us and from that knowledge. And then as long as we are discerning, hey, what is right from wrong or just from unjust or sinful from holy, then how do we do it, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this like, hey, we need to know, we need to discern and experience the wisdom of God moving in our lives so that we actually know what direction in our specific circumstance we need to go. And then we need to be willing to say yes. So there's this beautiful relationship. And I think you did a great job pointing those few things out in the message.
With an illustration, I would think of like, I talk about like, you need to have reverence for God, you need humility. Those are like the ingredients to baking this like beautiful thing, but you're not the baker. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is.
So
that's the part you have to go like, okay, I've got to put these ingredients in, but the baker's going to tell me, here's how this works. Yep. If you want to get to the end. And so if you want to make the cake, if you want to get to, and so to me, that is how this illustration kind of plays out. Cause you can be like, and this is what I don't want to happen in this sermon is I'm like, okay, I'm just going to work on humility. Okay. I'm going to work on reverence. Mm-hmm. I'm going to work on some of these. And that's not bad. I want you to, but I go, but you got to connect with the one who actually knows what those things mean and where they will take you.
Yeah.
And that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. That's really good. It's almost like, I think about baking bread, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got these like, three ingredients. You've got the water, you've got the flour, and then typically you've got the yeast or I guess a starter if you're doing a sourdough thing. But and it's like, hey, you can throw all three of those things together. If you're missing one of them though, you're going to end up with crackers, right? If you're missing, the yeast, it's not going to be bread.
It's not going to be great.
And then, the only thing that makes it bread in and of itself is the baking process. And that's something that, the Spirit does in and through us. We don't necessarily have the power to do it ourselves. We play a role in it, right? We do the work. We are obedient. We put in the work, but that is the power of the Spirit. We've talked a few times, even as a team, about even Paul's line. What is it? In one of the letters to Corinth, maybe the first one, where he's talking to the church, and there was this dispute around the teachings of Paul and the teachings of Apollos. And what he says to them is, hey, some of you say, I follow the teachings of Paul. Some say I follow Apollos, who was another teacher about God. He says,
I may plant the seed, Apollos may water it, but only God gives the growth.
Yeah.
Like it is the fruit of the Spirit of God alone that grows it in us. That is his work to do. So I know we want to spend a bunch of time here talking about that, talking about the Holy Spirit. I know you kind of landed with that in the message. So let's start there because I think that there can be, I mean, it's a way bigger than, you know, a 40 or 50 minute conversation here today, but there can be a lot of misunderstandings about the Spirit or really just questions around like, hey, what is this thing? Because out of the Trinity, out of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's the one that I think most followers of Jesus know the least about or maybe understand. There's a lot of gray area. So let's start to dig into that a bit within this this idea of, hey, you know, we need to be led by the Spirit who gives wisdom, who gives not like, you know, they're all of the roles of the Spirit. How can we help clarify the role of the Spirit in the life of a believer?
I think I'll start with kind of explaining when you think of the Trinity, you got the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I think the Bible actually helps us in some of this. You see a lot in the Old Testament, you see the Father kind of taking the lead. You see that kind of being God the Father leading the Israelites and all those kind of things. And it's not saying that we see Jesus show up in multiple times. We see even the Holy Spirit. Joseph is the first example we read in the Bible of someone being led by the Holy Spirit, even coming upon. That's what you see a lot in the Old Testament is Holy Spirit coming upon someone. And then you got to start the New Testament and you see Jesus's role, the Son going, I'm going to die on the cross, raised from the grave, so that you can have this relationship with the Father. Sin does not define us. But then also he's going, now comes the time. Once Jesus raises up to heaven, Holy Spirit takes over to where he made it possible for the Holy Spirit to be in us. And so now the Holy Spirit is takes on, and he is a person, because sometimes we can try to think of like he's just this force, like think Star Wars-esque, and it's not that. He's actually a friend that can walk with us. And I know it's a little confusing. He can come upon us. He can be in us, but he's there guiding us. It talks about scripture. He's our advocate. And so we are living in an age right now where it's been the Holy Spirit. Since the church started, the Holy Spirit has been leading that time. And all the Holy Spirit is doing is pointing to the reason you have this is because of what Jesus did. And you can walk with the Father for eternity. Like that's what we're going after. And this is who you are. And this is what you're going after.
That's so good. Really quickly, let's just establish a super quick timeline on this from a biblical perspective, because I think it's helpful, especially for those who may not have thought through this in entirety, because we can hear the different roles that God plays in his various persons. And say, oh, yeah, Jesus is like the New Testament one. And that's where we start talking with him. And I know that's not what we're saying. So just really quickly, you know, Genesis 1 in the beginning was God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, empty, and formless and empty, I guess the NIV says. Darkness was over the surface of the Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. So we see even, you know, the very beginning of scripture, the first two verses, we've got the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is, you know, the language that we'll use often, hovering over the surface of the water. He was there then, he is there now, he it was and is and always
all
will be.
All three have always existed.
So that's like the very simple, is one of our Trinitarian texts that we'll go back to all the time when we're trying to understand how God works in these three persons. And then you see the Spirit of God move in the life of Joseph. I love that, you pointing that out. And then all throughout the Old Testament, you hear references to, oftentimes when you're reading your Bible, right, you'll see Lord. And if you notice it, and I know I've mentioned this before, if you're reading your Bible and you notice that the word Lord is capitalized, all four letters, and sometimes it's like a little bit smaller, but they're all in capitals. That is the reference to the name of God. That is like the Yahweh, right? It's calling God by name. Oftentimes the reference is to God the Father, but you see the Holy Spirit working all throughout the Old Testament, you see these Christophanies that we talked about a series or two ago where Jesus shows up, even though he's not yet called Jesus. It is God in human form who is the Son of God, who we know is Jesus. And then we get into the Gospels. And we see the story of Jesus, right? Very clearly. Mm-hmm. Towards the tail end of the Gospels, though, we see, and actually all throughout the Gospels, but a couple of notable times in the tail end of the Gospels, we see Jesus make a couple of very clear references to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We see in John 16 is one that points out to me, or stands out to me always. And this is, as a reminder, it's a part of the Upper Room discourse. So we've got Jesus and his disciples on the night he was betrayed. You think of communion texts, like this is all a part of that same moment that Jesus is having with his disciples in the upper room. When Jesus washes their feet, this is that moment, the same moment. And he's sharing a bit of a foreshadowing as to what's to come. He doesn't tell them explicitly in detail that he will be, you know, murdered and rise again in three days. But he is sharing the sentiment of like, hey, my time has come. He knows that. And here's what he says. He says, very truly, I tell you, it is good for you that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, capital A, notable, mm-hmm. we're talking about a person, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So again, personal to your point, Todd, it is a person of God. It is a person that is the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Those three things are really interesting because he goes on to explain them. So sin, righteousness, and judgment. And here's how he kind of describes those three things and the role of the advocate who is the Holy Spirit, the role that the advocate plays. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. So even in this, what is it, three verse text, as Jesus is trying to teach his disciples what's about to happen, he's saying a couple of really important things, but maybe the most important is, it is better for you that I am going away because I'm going to send one better than me for you to be with you and in you, which is just a fascinating concept because we think of Jesus as like, wait, no, if I had the chance just to be in the presence of Jesus, that's what I want. Like that's what we all want. And even Jesus himself is saying, hey, it's actually better for you that I go because I'm a man. I'm in some way, shape, or form in the body of a human, right? That's what we know about Jesus. It's him coming in humility as a human to bear our sin on the cross. And he is bound by many of the things that human bodies are bound by, right? Life and death, obviously he defeated sin and death and he is eternal. But what he's saying is like, hey, we've got this advocate, the Spirit of God that lives in you wherever you go, every single one of you. And I believe that's why he says it's better. It's actually better that he be in you than I be here with you because he can be everywhere at all times. And then, so even going into the early church, I'll kind of hand it off to you, Todd, here, because you mentioned a couple of texts about the early church, specifically in Acts.
Well, and in that, what I would want us to see is like, even at the beginning with Adam and Eve, he breathed life into them. You've got Spirit being in him. And so when the fall happened, the best way to describe it is the Spirit was not able to be in us anymore. Yeah. And that was part of the heartbreak. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so then God spends, and so now we're back to being able to go, I want you to get back to being able to live with the Holy Spirit being in you and transforming you.
Yeah.
And so the full picture of that, to see the weight of that, and God's going, that was the injustice, that was the sin that broke it. So I had to fix all of that so we can get back to the original design of the Holy Spirit being in humanity. And so that's ultimately, and this is the part we got to recognize, like God, Jesus went to the cross just to die for our sins and raised from the grave so that we can conquer death too, but also so that we could be full of the Spirit and let that transformation happen. But yes, and so you see it in the church. So this is in Acts. I alluded to like the verse 4 and 5, it says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then just a couple verses down, this is in verse 7 and verse 8, it says, it is not for you to know the times or dates that the Father has set by his own authority, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Mm-hmm. And this is where I'd go. The disciples have this moment, and you see now they're full of the Holy Spirit that gives them the ability to lead the church in the way of God. That's going to create the hope. Mm-hmm. And humanity and the church can be able to bring this hope to the world. And it's going to be led by the Holy Spirit pointing to it. And it's going to point out sin. It's going to point out righteousness. It's going to lead us to the transformation that he ultimately wants to happen. Now, sometimes we can get, because in next chapter, you got Pentecost that happens. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's a powerful moment. But I think some bad teaching that happens in this is that Holy Spirit is only represented when you see the speaking in tongues, which is what Pentecost is, and an incredible moment, but it also is this moment where they're forming the church and Holy Spirit is coming. Like, let me show you the gifts that will start to happen in this. So it's not just speaking in tongues, because you can go all the way back to Joseph and going, the Holy Spirit used logistics and administration.
Yeah.
And it was, the Spirit was in Joseph in that moment. So it's more using the gifts God has given us to where you have these moments that God is transforming and you're leading in such a way that people go, man, it seems like the Spirit of God is in you. I can see it. I can sense it. And so whether you're, what you're doing at work, how you're leading your family, how the Spirit can lead those moments.
Yeah.
And to me, I would love for our church and everybody, because I think we're called into this, is going, do you have people in your life who don't know Jesus? Because I would say Pharaoh didn't know God. Mm-hmm. Maybe heard of him, but didn't know him. But they look at you and go, it seems like the Spirit of God is in you.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately where God wants us to get to, using the gifts. And so that's the part is like, sometimes it's like, well, the evidence of you having the Holy Spirit is you start to speak in tongues. I disagree with that. Yeah, do I think it's a gift? Yes. Yeah, and it can be an incredible gift. And it's something that we should use. But I also think there can be healing as evidence. There can be incredible works that happen and go to Joseph's story. There can be leadership moments. There can be so many things that the Holy Spirit moves in.
Yeah.
That is just... I mean, it could even just straightly come from encouragement. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Holy Spirit speaks in that.
Yeah. Well, and there are like, I think we can get hung up too on like the gifts of the Spirit. And it's like, I don't know if I've ever like done any of those things, but it's like, no, there's also the fruit of the Spirit too, which is still very much like a prominent, like being joyful and all of those things. Like it's not a, oh, I have to speak in tongues or I have to prophesy. And even there's like, probably another podcast of unpacking what those even actually mean.
Right.
But well,
and there's gifts that are transformational in you.
Yeah.
But Holy Spirit's not going to be, those aren't just for you. That's also for the people you connect with and lead.
Yeah.
Because that's going to impact them as well. Because I'm going to teach them what character or self-control or goodness, kindness, I'm going to show that to them. And you get an opportunity to do that. And so, sorry to cut you off
there. No.
That's really good. I think too, even as we learn more and more about the early church in Acts, it's so fascinating to see the ways that the Spirit moves in the midst of situations. And you know, you see story after story of transformation and people coming to faith in Jesus. Who think about the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, right? Just riding along in a chariot, reading Isaiah 51, and
once again, Holy Spirit helping interpretation.
And that's scripture. Yeah. Yeah. So like, there's another role. All he's doing is reading scripture. And he's like, wait, there's something here. Yeah. And of course,
Philip
runs up alongside him and being prompted by the Holy Spirit, mind you, is just obedient to what the Spirit's telling him. And it runs up and explains it. And he's baptized and he's indwelled with the Holy Spirit in that moment. You see the story of Lydia. And there's the moment of her and her family are baptized. You see the story of the Philippian jailer. Philippian jailer. Mm-hmm. And same thing, like he is baptized and indwelled with the Spirit. You even see the Apostle Paul when for a Damascus moment. God speaks to him very clearly. He goes on to Damascus, is baptized and indwelled with the Holy Spirit, and begins not only telling his own testimony and his own story, but he begins to be indwelled with the Spirit to do that work. So it is an important, again, it's such a core part of the life of faith that we live, that I think understanding like, okay, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whatever we call him, what is he doing and how do we recognize what he's doing in our lives? So maybe that's a good thing to just chat through for a little bit. It's like, okay, what is the role? What are some of the things? Cause it's a pretty broad list all throughout scripture of what the Spirit does in our lives, how he works in our lives. I know in my life, there are a couple of very clear ways that he shows up regularly, that I'm far familiar with. I think about, even the language Jesus uses, he's the advocate, right? Yep. The one of the works of the Spirit is to advocate, for godliness, holiness in your life. Sometimes that looks like conviction, right? Yeah. I think one of the core roles of the Holy Spirit is to convict us when we are living in sin or falling away from what God has in our lives. I think oftentimes for those of us who are trying to follow God, conviction comes from the Spirit. It's like, hey, you know, that's not right. And I'm going to remind you that that's not the, the way that you're called to live, in an effort to repent, right? Turn it around and move back into the direction of God. Encouragement. I think oftentimes, the Spirit works in ways. This week for me, love your neighbor. Like I was encouraged a 100 times over the course of the few days that I was involved in projects. And, I think oftentimes those are like little, blessings from the Spirit to just like keep us going, to remind us. Reminding is just one of those things. I think the Spirit has a way of reminding us of, what God's doing in our lives or others' lives and how much power he actually does hold, when we sometimes lose sight of that. But, what else do you guys see in scripture? Like these roles and works of the Spirit.
I think I said it in the scripture. I was like, he is just this friend that you never knew you needed so badly.
Yeah.
And partly because he is the friend that's more faithful to God than making you feel better. So that may mean, yes, he's going to be the encourager. He's going to be your advocate. He's also going to be your counselor. He's also going to be the one that convicts you.
Yeah.
And going, hey, I don't think you handled that the right way.
Yeah.
And he just plays this role that can be very just loving and gentle, but at the same time, also one of these things like, this is what makes God like enough in our lives. Because we have this Holy Spirit of going, yes, I want these other relationships. Don't get me wrong. I love being able to be married and have kids, and but also have all these friendships and whatever it may be in our lives. But this one, if all of that left, I don't know if I could survive without losing this friend.
Yeah.
And that's where I think God wants us to get to of going, can I have that kind of deep relationship with the Holy Spirit to where he is friend, but a friend that plays so many different roles because he can in this. And so, and I can tell you, it takes work. It is hard because you go, okay, what does it mean he's in me? And what does it mean he can come upon me? Yeah. And how do I get to know him when I can't see him? Yeah. And that's the work of learning to sit with him, learning to talk with him, and learning to, I even pray to him. I mean, think about your prayer life. Hey, do you include conversations with the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
I remember being challenged in that way because, you know, you pray to the Father, you pray to the Son, but how am I bringing the Holy Spirit into this conversation?
Yeah.
One of the things I also kind of practiced was like, it's called two chairs. Like you'd sit and put another chair and just act like the Holy Spirit is sitting right there with you. People have also said Jesus, but I go, yeah, Jesus is in that. But I'd also say it's really more the Holy Spirit at this time.
Yeah.
Just in where we live. And so, and I understand I don't think God gets frustrated. He's like, actually, no, I'm the Holy Spirit. Don't call me Jesus. Like, I don't think he gets frustrated by that at all. But I think he wants to coach us and be like, this is who's actually talking to you right now.
Yeah.
This is who the friend is, who's helping you know who the Son is, who's helping you know and understand your relationship with God. And so to me, friend has been the best term. Like it's just the best friend that is not there to help you. Just sometimes you get some friends that just tell you what you shouldn't hear. It's like they're like,
maybe you shouldn't. Oh, you'll
be
fine.
You'll be great. And you're like, no, I screwed that up, man. Yeah, you're still okay. It's like,
huh? Yeah. Are you seeing this the same way?
Holy Spirit's going to be like, hey, this doesn't define you.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could have handled that better.
Yeah.
And here's how. Let's walk through that.
So. I love. I've kind of discovered the writings of Thomas Oden over the past year. And one of the ways that he kind of describes some of this, he says, in Christ, we learn what God has already done on our behalf. By the Spirit, we are being enabled to reshape our doing in response to what God has done. And I love that because, you know, yeah, I think sometimes we can like get mixed up on like, okay, so what's what role? And it's the beauty of God is like, we know he is a very gracious God, even when we like mix up like, okay, so how does the Trinity actually work? And
who do I talk to?
What's going on? You're three, but you're one. And, but I think there's so much grace that God has. And yeah, we want to kind of veer away from heresy as much as we can, but, I love the beauty and God's like, you're figuring this out. You're learning. When it comes to spirit, it's kind of cool because yeah, we see these moments in the Old Testament where the Spirit of God comes on someone, but also like when people want to encounter the Spirit, they have to go to the temple. Mm-hmm. And we kind of see this chain of events where it's like, yeah, that's the case in the Old Testament. We see like Jesus with the woman at the well and they're having the conversation. She says, you guys have to go to Israel, but we say that, or you have to go to Jerusalem to worship, but we worship on this mountain. And he goes, well, there will come a time where you will worship in spirit and truth. Right. And it brings us to that First Peter passage where, we're being told like you are living stones that make up the temple now. And so we've seen where it's like, yeah, you have to go and like learn from God or hope that his spirit comes on you to now this place that like east location, west location, like these are just buildings that the temple gathers. Yeah. We are the stones that make up the place that the presence sits. And so I love that reminder that, yeah, no, the Spirit of the Lord is with me when I get in my car and we leave the studio. Mm-hmm. And I think the trick to it is like, okay, he's with me. So how do I like pay attention and listen? Because I think we can oftentimes get louder than him.
Yeah.
And then not even just understand that he's even prompting us or that what I'm feeling is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm.
That's really good. I wonder too, you know, maybe if you don't come from a church background, I wonder like you might be just trying to figure this out for the first time, or maybe you've been trying to figure it out for a long time. And hopefully some of this conversation's been helpful. But I think if you do come from maybe a different type of church background and you know, there are plenty of, you know, branches of the faith that put various levels of priority around this idea of, oh, who is the Holy Spirit? And how present is he in our lives? And what does that look like? And what does it mean? Then I think it can be easy to wrestle with this idea. For me anyways, like I look at, you know, understanding God through the lens of scripture seems not easy, but simple. When we have this beautiful book that just tells the story of God, you know, from creation to Revelation, we've got these stories, story after story, that is this meta narrative of who God is, helps us understand his character, how he works in and through people, what he wants for us, what he wants from us. Like all of those things can be fairly clear, not black and white, different interpretations. I understand all of that, but being able to read it in a book is fairly clear. Mm. With understanding the roles of the Spirit, obviously we can learn in scripture how he worked through other people. And that's a beautiful, you know, way for us to learn about the work of the Spirit. But I think sometimes it can be a little tough situationally, personally in our lives where, hey, you may have, unfortunately, and this is true in my life, you may have had people tell you things about the Spirit that are just untrue. you may have had people tell you that God is doing this thing or going to do this thing in your life and the Spirit told them so. I'm not saying that that can't happen. I'm not saying that the work of the Spirit doesn't present itself in that way sometimes through prophecy. And like, these are gifts of the Spirit. They are real. They happen. I've experienced both sides of this. But I do think that people can not intentionally, but unintentionally sometimes do some harm if they believe that they're, you know, they want this thing and they think maybe it's what the Spirit wants and they're going to say it to you anyways, because, you know, maybe they're not super sure. Then it doesn't happen. It's like, well, what do I trust? It's funny. I didn't make this connection, but when I read John 16, just those couple of verses starting in 7, you know, where earlier where Jesus says, I'm going to leave so that another one, the advocate that's better can come. Just after that, he continues, Jesus continues again, upper room with his disciples to say this in verse 12. He says, I have much more to say to you, than you can now bear, which is kind of a bummer because he's not going to be there much longer. So it's like, hey, I've got a lot more. I'm not going to tell you.
We're going to hold on that.
Yeah. Hey,
just stay tuned.
Yeah.
How do I stay tuned if you're going to be gone? I don't understand.
It's like, okay. You know, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now.
Yeah.
But when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And then here's the line that stands out a whole lot to me, that hopefully can be helpful as we're navigating this. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will only glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. It's this beautiful assurance that we actually, by the power of the Spirit, by the way, we actually have the ability to discern what is of God and what is not.
Yep.
And that's why I always caution people, like, hey, if you're hearing, if someone ever tells you, like, hey, God told me to tell you this, God told me you should do this, like, it's okay to have some, like, antennas going up on those sorts of, like, I think it's part of the wisdom God gives us to kind of cross-check by the power of the Spirit some of those things. Because what we know about the Spirit in Scripture is the Spirit is never going to tell you something that God has not called you to.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not going to. In fact, this is this beautiful picture. It's one of these Trinitarian texts where we get this picture of a mutual submission. Mm-hmm. Jesus must go so the Spirit can come. But when the Spirit comes, he is only receiving what Jesus is giving him.
Yeah.
That's what this text is telling us. Like, you know, the Spirit will speak truth, and he's only going to speak truth because he's only going to speak what I give him. And what I give him is only truth. Because I am truth, right? That's what Jesus is saying. So, you know, I think it's good to be able to, sit in, okay, well, is this something that I am just feeling, or is this something that the Spirit is telling me, calling me towards? And we get to cross reference that with the rest of what we know about God in Scripture, his character. Yeah. If it's outside of his character, it's not of God. He's never going to call you to do something outside of his character. So just one of those, like, hey, if you're newer to this.
And that's where I think, like, we have a discernment problem in our world today.
Yeah.
Because I've heard it. I've had people tell me, it's like, oh, I feel like God is telling me to, and you put in some statement that's just like, no, he would never tell you to go leave your spouse. He would never tell you to go leave your kids. Like, it's just like those examples that you're like, he's telling me to go live in this area. And I'm like, the Holy Spirit will match up to God's will. Yes. He will never take you out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His whole role is to take you into it and transform you so you can see it and have the wisdom to go this. So Brandon, that was great.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, like, even on, like, another side of, like, you know, I had moments where people have spoken things over me and, like, 10 years down the road being like, holy cow. Like, yeah, God was speaking through you. Like, I had a youth leader before I sang or even played guitar say, like, yeah, you're going to be a worship leader. And looking back, it's like, wow, they were like, and they were really pouring into me. But I've also had moments where it's like someone has said something and it's like, hey, this is for you. This is from God. And it's like,
I don't think so.
Is it? Yeah. And I think one of the, because I think we can also get confused on, like, okay, so how do I discern and kind of shuffling through it. It's so crucial to remember that the same Spirit that would prompt the person is the same Spirit that is helping you discern. It's not like I have a different Holy Spirit than that person and they're fighting. Yeah. It's like, no, like, if the Holy Spirit is
same
guy. If he's speaking through someone, actually, he's helping you discern it as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what Satan's going to, he's going to twist it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
He can take on, let me pretend to be. the Holy Spirit in this moment. And so that's the part we've got to be careful with. And this is where we need wisdom. Mm-hmm. We need discernment that only comes from the Lord. But that's why I say it's hard.
Yeah.
You have to get to know the Holy Spirit. And I'll just take this time right now. I'm not saying we won't be able to solve all of this, and nor will we. The whole goal of this is actually God going, can you learn to lean on me in this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is why it is complicated. It is, it help. Yeah. You have to lean into this conversation.
Yeah.
You have to practice some things. And so one of the things I'd recommend, there's some great books out there that kind of help navigate the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The Wild Goose Chase by Mark Batterson is a great one. I know, Kyle, you had.
The Familiar one. Stranger by Tally Stanton was another one.
Yeah. And so just some opportunities. We just want to give you resources to keep diving into this conversation. Because to me, if you want an application out of this, it's simply going yes to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep saying yes. I want to learn who he is. I want him in my life and ask for God. I pray that I'd be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And then you think of like with the water, like, okay, I come up clean. And that's an important baptism. But there's also this another work in this. There's a second baptism where it's going, the Holy Spirit wants to be in you.
Yeah.
And are you asking for it? And can that happen when you get baptized with water? Yes.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's, you have water and then it happens. It's just the timing of that. It's more you being ready to say yes to that and allowing the Holy Spirit to come in. Because he will not force his way in.
Yeah.
He will simply go, are you ready for me to come in and take over?
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, and I love just landing on that. Like, okay, how else do we learn about the wisdom that God provides for us? And so those books about the Spirit, incredibly good books. I've not read the Tyler Stanton one yet, but I know a ton of my friends have and they've all raved about it. But even just from a wisdom perspective, like we've got these wisdom literatures in scripture, we've got
Proverbs,
we've got Song of Songs, we've got Ecclesiastes, right? From a wisdom perspective, talk about someone who like tried it all and couldn't figure it out, but is considered the most wise person in scripture up until Jesus, right?
Yeah.
With Solomon. And then you've got like, the book of Job even, right? The oldest written text that we have in scripture and just over and over again, like repetitive book. A lot of people know the story of Job, but they've not actually read the book of Job because it's like 48 or 49 chapters and it's like over and over again. I think 48 or 49,
fact check.
No, 40, 46 maybe. I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong. It's long. Like over and over again, you just see God trying to give wisdom. I think we have so much wisdom that we can pull from some of those wisdom literatures in scripture. Yeah. Proverbs, Psalms, it's over and over again. How much is it?
42.
42. Okay. Yeah. I was close.
I was going to say 42, but I didn't feel confident. I was
like, numbers are my enemy, so I'm not even going to try.
Yeah. That's good. We'll be talking about Job actually a little bit later in the year, I think. Maybe that's just me. Anyways.
Yeah. I love like, I think even going back to, you know, discerning, like, is this the Spirit? Is this the enemy twisting? It's so important that we learn the voice of God.
Yeah.
And it's that sheep analogy, you know, I think a lot of us have probably already heard it, but it's like, you know, you've got the flock of sheep and they know the voice of the shepherd. And there are even times when the shepherd hasn't brought up someone and the shepherd dies and the sheep don't know anyone's name and they won't listen to anyone's name. And so I think it's just such a beautiful analogy of like, become so attuned to the voice of God. And one of the best ways we can do that is diving into scripture. Like we go and we spend time, we learn how he speaks. We let him be a part of that scripture reading.
Yep.
We pray through the scriptures. Like, again, my brain's always super practical. So it's like, how do we dive into this? And going through the wisdom literature, I think is a beautiful way to do that.
That's really good. I didn't think about this earlier, but last night we were at a baseball game. Todd and I are coaching Little League right now for both of our sons. Heck of a game last night, Todd. So fun.
Together or against?
Together. Oh, okay. Together. Yeah. And it was funny because it got a little windy towards the end of the game and it was a very close game, pretty intense ending.
Yeah.
Very just one of those intense games. So I'm competitive too, so that doesn't help. But, you know, I third base coach is typically where I'll stand when our kids are batting. And, you know, I know the quirks at this point. We're like 12 or 13 games into the season. Mm-hmm. I know what type of pitches each kid wants to swing at when it's like, dude, you're never going to hit that ball. So every time they come up to bat, I give them a couple of like the same thing every at bat, a couple of pointers for each kid. Yeah. And it's like, hey, don't swing at anything over your head. Cause I know the kids that love swing it, which are most of our kids right now. It drives me nuts. Yeah. But you know, it's loud, it's intense, it's a little windy. So when kids are walking up, I'm having to like yell from third base, like yell their name a couple of times before they turn and look at me.
Mm.
But when my son comes up,
yeah,
I barely have to say it. Porter, he knows the tone of my voice. Mm-hmm. He knows, and not only does he know the tone of my voice, but he like knows what I'm about to say to him.
Yeah.
So, hey, Porter. And he's in his mind, I already know what he's knows I'm going to say, like, hey, stay tight, swing hard. Keep that back elbow in, stay tight, swing hard. So he looks over at me and he pulls his back. Before I say anything again, he pulls his back elbow in. He takes a practice swing exactly like we've talked about it a million times. And he just knows. And that's some of what God offers to us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why I'm just always going to be an advocate for like being scripture.
Yeah.
Like as much, not in a way where it's like you should feel guilty not being in scripture. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will convict you if you've been away for too long, right? But man, what better way for us than be in prayer and be in scripture, even simultaneously, to understand and know the tone of God's voice to us, and really start to dig in so that when a situation arises, we don't have to ask, we don't have to guess. We don't have to like be unsure of what he's calling us to. Cause we already know what he's going to say. He's going to say, keep going, right? Mm. Be obedient. Yeah. You already know, you know, the answer to the test, you just need to execute, like all of those things. So that was a really great, I love the sheep analogy. Mm-hmm. That was really good.
For sheep.
Yeah.
For sheep.
Cause also, I mean, our kids will look at us when they do everything.
Mm. Yeah.
They do something and you can see, they all look at dad or mom. How'd you think I did?
Yep.
And so, and it's just that at age, we got 9, 10, 11 all on the team.
Yeah.
And so, and I go, man, what if that was us with the Holy Spirit?
Mm.
As we did things, we're like, okay, what'd you think?
Yeah.
Like, was that, did that honor you? And then there's times where Holy Spirit like, hey, keep it tight. Mm-hmm. Swing hard. Yep. You've got this. And encouragement. And there's times where it's going to be like, hey, knock off the chatter.
Yeah.
You can't make all the calls. All right.
Yeah.
You can't yell at the umps. Like, he's doing that too. And it's just a good analogy of like, hey, do you have that kind of relationship with the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Because ultimately I think God goes, that's what I want.
Yeah. That's good.
Like, I want to coach you. I want to be there for you. Just walk with you and be so proud when you do this, but also be there when you need some correction.
Yeah.
And I go, we all want that.
Mm-hmm.
We desperately want that. And this is the part is like, part of the reason is because so many people are so lonely because they don't have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Like, cause I go, I know that feeling. Mm-hmm. I've been there. And I just, that is a hard place to live.
Yeah, that's really good. I want to end on this. Great Commission text. We use it all the time.
Let's go.
Right. Therefore go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. Right. Remember, this is Jesus speaking right before, like post death, burial, and resurrection. He's walking the earth 40 days, appearing to people all over the place. Over 200 people, over the course of those 40 days. This is right before he ascends into heaven, right? Seated at the right hand of the Father. And then he continues by saying, and surely I will be with you till the very ends of the age, which is ironic because he's just about to ascend into heaven and he's actually no longer
going to hold on.
Personally, he's no longer going to be personally with them in the way that they know, right?
In the way they would prefer.
Mm. Yeah. In the way that they would personally prefer. We don't know him in that way. He has not been sitting in a chair next to me, that I'm aware of anyways. He says, and I think it's this beautiful foreshadowing of, again, what he says in John 16, there's another that's better. Like, I will be with you. My spirit, the spirit of God will be with you till the very ends of the age. And he's telling us, hey, he's going to empower you to do all sorts of incredible works. And we see it in the story of the church in Acts. But I think that story is still playing out today. So he's with us until the very ends of the age.
It's good stuff.
All right. Hey, thanks, guys. See you again next week.
Well, hey, I hope that conversation was helpful in helping you understand even a little more about who the Holy Spirit is and what he does for us as followers of Jesus. I always encourage you, if you have additional questions or anything else that we can do to help, don't hesitate to reach out. You can submit a contact form through the website, fs.church, or on the app, whatever method you use. Reach out to us. We'd love to help walk with you in a better, more full understanding of the Spirit. You heard us mention it even in this episode. There's no way we can cover all of our bases in 45 minutes here in a conversation like this, but we always want to be available to help. So feel free to reach out if you have any specific questions. Again, we want to be as helpful as we can. It's the whole reason we do this podcast. We want to help you walk with Jesus. We want to help each other walk with Jesus. So that's why we're here. And again, we're so grateful that you'd spend this time with us today. Again, just so grateful for all of you who were engaged in Love Your Neighbor Week this past week. I can't wait to share more stories about that. But that'll be in future dates here. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next week.